Okay, so let's get started. We're going to be going through building Windows 8 store apps. My name is Atlee Hunter. I'm one of the developer mentors, and I'm here to talk to you about Windows 8 development and some of the parts and pieces that are involved in that. So we'll start off with looking at how Windows has been reimagined. We'll talk about the WinRT APIs, and we'll talk about the user experience and how important that is in your application development. We'll also talk about the Windows Store and the app execution environment, okay? So how your apps are going to be executed, what that it looks like, and what that is like for the user and also for the developer. So when we look at Windows 8, we've got a completely different UI. They've changed Windows 8, or they've changed Windows from the ground up. The UI is very, very different. One of the funny things that I get asked a lot is, where is my start menu? And what it actually is your start menu is right there. Your screen actually starts in your start menu, and you have the ability to basically go through and see all parts of your most popularly used applications in one central location. So you can center the things that are important to you and have those laid out to you. One of the other nice things that it does offer you is the ability to get notifications and information on your most commonly used apps, and for apps that are enabled with live tiles. So that carries on with a similar feature that's available on Windows Phone. It's really nice to be able to get the information up front, to be able to get in and out, look at you. Sometimes you can find out what you need just by looking at your desktop, which is really nice. Once you actually need to go into your UI, or into an application, the application will start up and open up in a full screen mode. You also have your desktop environment, which allows you to go in and run either traditional applications and or desktop-based applications that are included with the OS, such as calculator, notepad, things like that. So, There are a lot of new investments in the concept of platform. So you've got the application, or the OS is actually built from the ground up to support touch. And one of the new mantras that you hear from Microsoft a lot now is the idea of build for touch, you'll get the keyboard and the mouse for free. So you have a lot of access abilities and a lot of ways of getting information both in and out of the device by using some of the new gestures, some of the new features that are available to the platform, and some really exciting new things that weren't previously available to Windows. Some of the key investments were creating a whole new set of runtimes. So you've got, instead of the traditional, what we thought of as the Win32 layer, or as the MSIL for managed applications, we now have one new runtime called the WinRT, and that's a large set of APIs that allow you access to both hardware features and some great extensions of the operating system. You also have, as we just saw there, a new app execution environment, so a new way for the applications to be presented to the user, to get the information to the user and also to take input from the user. And you've got the new Windows 8 user experience. You've got the ability for the users to have a focused environment, a focused action on your particular application, which can really lead to really great user experiences. One of the things that I find very complicated about using a computer is that there's always so many things coming in from every different way. Now with Windows 8, you have the ability to focus on one thing, or with SnapView, you have the ability to get something from another application or have a secondary application that can give you information you need right there. And the other great thing is that distribution of your software is now taken by the Windows Store. You don't have to worry about burn my CDs, ship my software, how do I distribute it, how do I get it out in front of the masses. You have a great new Windows Store that basically handles all that distribution issue for you and actually is included with every Windows 8 device. So every Windows 8 user has the potential to go in and look up what they want to find on their or what they want to have on their computer. And in doing that, they can come across your application. So it's quite an interesting new environment. It's a really exciting time for a Windows developer. So let's look at a few of the pieces that come up with that. Now, with regards to the API, we still have the Windows Core OS services. Now, traditionally, what we would have for desktop apps is you'd have your traditional methodology, and that's all still available to people that are writing desktop apps. You have HTML and JavaScript, which would run in the Internet Explorer browser. You also have your C and C++ that would connect directly to the Win32 layer and then connect through that to the WinCore OS services. or you can use your traditional C# and VB application model where you connect directly to the MSIL. So now, though, what they've also added is a whole new paradigm of how you can connect and utilize the services by creating the WinRT. Now, the WinRT allows your access to communication and data, your graphics, all of your devices, and direct application model or access to the application model. So it gives you one basic set of APIs that you can use and utilize. So it actually makes developing a lot easier and a lot. It's just a very, very interesting methodology for doing it, because what it does then is it levels everything out. C# and XAML and VB are treated the same way as C and C++. They have the same direct access to it, so they tend to function a lot faster and a lot cleaner, so you have a really, really great and robust experience. And then one of the other great things is that HTML and CSS and JavaScript also have direct access to the API layer, so they can actually be compiled and utilized as native apps. So if you're an HTML5 and JavaScript developer, you have the ability to create your web-based applications and then compile them directly as an application. You're going to be using a superset of JavaScript, which will be accessing the WinRT layer. It's excuse me. And so with that, you'll have some different API calls that you'll make that will be a little bit different than your normal JavaScript. But traditionally, all of your business logic and your other things that you use in traditional JavaScript will work just the same way. So it really opens it up for a lot of different developers. And that's how you create Windows Store apps. So what we're going to do here is we're just going to take a quick second and we're going to do a quick Hello World application in WinRT, in C++ utilizing the WinRT. So I'm just going to connect to my Visual Studio here. And we're going to make a new project. I'm going to go File, New Project. And we're going to go to C++. And we're going to look at Windows Store app. And we're going to create a new Windows Store in my demo space. And okay, so we'll create a new blank app. And now what's really rather interesting is you'll notice here that in my C++ application, you'll notice that I have all of the includes and the other statements that you're familiar with in a C++ application, and a very, very similar familiar structure. But I also have XAML, so I have access to create my UI in XAML, but to create my code behind in C++. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually open up our main page we're going to open up my main page XAML and take a quick look at that here. So in here, what I want to do is I'm just going to add a button click here. So our button in here, and we're gonna set something to happen on the button click. Okay, so we're gonna make a button, and anybody that's familiar with XAML will see that this is coming up the exact same way. And we're gonna say content equals click me, and we're going to put a click handler in, and just waiting for new event handler. And you'll see that it prompts me to create a new event handler. And then we're going to just close that off. So we're just going to go in here and navigate to the event handler. And then we're going to basically go in and write our code. So we've got auto DLG equals ref new Windows. Now you'll see that the IntelliSense is bringing up everything that we need. Whoops, sorry. I'm breaking back into C# there. Pop-ups. Now it's rather interesting. If you look at these namespaces, they look very, very similar to what you might recognize from VB or C#. And it's very, very similar. So you'll find that a lot of the namespaces look very similar, and they're quite easy to use. So we'll also add a Hello World, and then we will close that down, And we will then go DLG. Oops. Equals. Show async. Now you'll notice here that I'm calling a show async method here, which basically everything in the WinRT is operated asynchronously. So you definitely have to take that into account when you're looking at how your applications run. So if I now then take this and run this, and yes, I want to build it. So we're going to build it. We're going to come up with my main page. You'll see that it's compiling the C++ and setting everything up and creating my libraries, and now it's deploying it. And so now I've got my application, I've got my button right here, and if I click it, I get a Hello World dialog. So very simple, very easy to do, and you'll notice that my UI is now built in XAML, so I can use all the great, wonderful goodness of construction of objects and spaces in XAML, and I don't have to redraw through my C++. I don't have to redraw everything on the screen from scratch, which can tend to be a very, very, very nice UI change, and it also can allow you to reuse code in a lot of ways. One of the nice things, too, though, is you can mix and match. So you can use some C++ in with your C# and XAML application, as well as mixing and matching the other way. So we'll go back to our slides here. Oops. I'd like to know where that went. It's awesome. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so we're back in our slide deck. So what we saw here is basically we're able to access the WinRT APIs directly through native. Okay, so the APIs are native. We just accessed it directly through C++ and went straight to the WinRT. Now you can also use XAML from C++, which is fantastic, and you can create some really portable libraries through C++, which allows you some really great strengths that you have previously been a little less able to use in this type of scenario. So it makes it very much more powerful and a lot more exciting. So you'll see a lot of really cool things have opened up now that basically take advantage of this. So the surface of WinRT APIs are basically that the fundamentals are your application services, your base items that you'll recognize from your system namespace if you're used to manage code. Things like threading, memory management, authentication, globalization, and authentication. Am I louder? Okay, so then on top of that, you'll have your media playback, your different abilities to do capture and play too, and your visual effects, so things like visualizations and transformations. And then on top of that, you'll have your devices, so your access to different things like your sensors, your NFC for certain devices, and a lot of portable devices. And then you have your communications and data, some of the big things, the local and cloud storage, utilizing the web, using notifications and streams, and some of the things that we're all, you know, very familiar with, things like XML networking, SMS, and one of the other new ones is contracts, setting up contracts to be able to create links between different applications, different devices, and different parts of the system as a whole. And then you have your user interface tools. So you have HTML, CSS, you have XAML, you have DirectX, you have a lot of controls, tons of different ways of binding. Well, you have very, very effective ways of data binding and having your data appear in your UI with very, very little code, which is really exciting. And if anybody's done any C# or WPF, you'll be really, really happy to see that that's been carried forward and has been actually improved upon and worked on to make even better. So, okay, so that's basically our a look at the Windows Store APIs. Now, we're going to do a quick demo in C# and take a look at how some of the same API calls or similar API calls can be done in C#. So let's go back to Visual Studio. We're going to make a new project here. New. First, I've got to stop my application, and then I can make a new project. So we're going to make a new project here, and we're going to actually go back to C# and utilize some C# goodness here. So we've done a blank application template. Actually, we'll go back and take a quick look at these application templates because they're pretty interesting. There's some really, really nice application templates in here. With the grid application template, you have the ability to have a layout that shows you exactly how you would best make a grid-based application and be able to utilize some really, really great controls and visualizations to lay out large selections of data, and it creates a really, really nice, robust UI. Then you have your split application, which basically is an application set that basically splits between having a grid application and then a listing application. So you can have applications that have a large set of data that then break down to another subset of a smaller set of data. So it ends up being really nice. Then you also have your class libraries and your other components there that you can utilize to make it. So we're going to go back to our C# application here, and we are going to add another button, I guess. This time what we're going to do, actually I think what we'll do is we'll do the exact same thing that we did in C#, so you can see roughly what it looks like there, and then maybe what we'll do, if we have some time, we will add another piece that does something else. So we're going to add a button in here, and as you can see, it's going to be basically the exact same. It's going to be the exact same. The exact same functionality and UI as what we did in C#. Now, mouse is not behaving today. And then we'll do a click event here equals event handler. Okay, so now what we do is we just right click and navigate to our event handler, and we've got our button click event here. So in C#, we're going to be doing a message dialog, which will be actually windows.ui.popups. So you'll see that I'm using the exact same namespaces that I was using in C++, but they're just done with the C#. They're done with the C# popups dot, message dialog. Okay, that's good. I'm going to call it message dialog equals new message dialog. Hello world. Okay, so that's our line that will give us our message dialog, or instantiate our message dialog, and then now what we need to do is we need to show it. So we would go message dialog dot show async, which is the exact same method that we called in the C# or C++ application. So if we run this, we're going to get basically the exact same reaction and layout that we got from the C++ application, but we just wrote this in C#. And you'll see here we have hello world. So basically you can see how similar the different programming tools are, how the API calls are very, very similar, and how we can utilize both of them very effectively and easily. Also, you need to remember that these are asynchronous methodologies. So what we're going to want to do here is we're going to want to put an await on here to be sure that we can define exactly when it is going to occur. Now, since it's an asynchronous method and we've put an await in here, we'd have to do this as async here, so that it would then function. Now what this allows it to do is go out and spin up its own thread to do what it needs to do and then come back to us when it's finished. And this await basically has told us to basically stand here until you're finished this piece. When you're finished this piece, the callback basically comes back there. So it actually generates a callback for you without you having to code a whole callback explicitly. So it makes it really, really effectively and easily to use the await and the asynchronous methods together. So we're going to go back to our slide presentation here, and we're going to take a look at what we saw. So basically, all the WinRT APIs, as I said previously, in C++ are asynchronous, whether you're in C++, C#, VB, or in HTML5 and JavaScript. The WinRT APIs provide really, really rich and easy access to all the devices, the OSs, and the services. So you have some really, really great tools there to create a very, very effective and connected UI while allowing the UI to remain responsive because of the asynchronicity. Now, the APIs feel natural in the same way in C# as they do in C++ or in JavaScript. As you saw there, we used the same namespace path, and it basically was done the exact same way, just using the specifics of the language for the layout of the code. So here basically we have an example of the language projections. Okay, so basically the runtime object or component is written in whatever language you've chosen, in C++, C#, or VB, and it basically gets, comes in from either your your C++ app, or your VB app, or your HTML5 app, and it gets brought down and applied, Windows metadata ends up applied to it, and then it basically goes into the runtime object. So it gets actually handled the exact same way no matter what API set you've chosen, or rather what language you've chosen to write to the API set. So it ends up being a really, really effective way to be able to create your applications in the language that you choose and then still get the same outcome and reaction. One of the nice things that I like about it is that now all the languages are treated equally, so it doesn't matter what language you've chosen to write it in, you're still going to get the same robust, rich, and immersive experience based on your development that you wanted to have for your user, no matter what language you've chosen. So basically what that leads to, though, is the user experience. So it's what these are all about. Applications are all about the user experience and what we've been able to give and share with the user. So basically what we're looking at is what the new UI gives to the user. It gives them a very, very, very feature-rich, focused UI. So it gives them the ability to utilize through the modern UI a really, really nice focus on the application so that they can get one thing done and get it done effectively and quickly. It also gives them a very, very fast and fluid experience because of the cleanness of the lines, the lightweight of the UI. There's not a lot of excess Chrome and a lot of excess menus and different things showing up everywhere. So the screen's not redrawing as much as it had to in the past so that it can really actually function very, very quickly and effectively. And you'll find that even devices that were running older versions of the OS, when you've installed Windows 8 on them, they tend to run a little quicker and a little cleaner. You also have the ability to create a snap and scale environment very, very effectively, and we'll actually take a look at that as well. By what I mean by snapping is being able to take an application and move it off to the side so that it takes up a certain section of the screen while leaving the rest of the screen open to another application so the user can share information or look at information on two different applications at the same time. Now, also, making use of the right contracts, the ability to use search contracts and share contracts and device contracts and play to and other different available contracts really, really does enrich the experience and allow it to connect more effectively with the rest of the system, with other applications on the system. And also, one thing you can't stress enough is that when you're building your UI and when you're building your application, don't forget about your tile. Okay, your tile is basically the way that you get users excited and interested and into your application. Your tile should give them something that explains the application to them, but also if you have an application that has a use case that basically would indicate it would be useful to have more information show on the tile, definitely invest the time it takes to do that. It doesn't take a long time to do it. It's fairly easy, and it's incredibly effective in giving the user that much more information. I have several applications on my device, and the ones that always make it to the front screen are the ones that give me a little bit more through the tile, and that tends to be the case with a lot of users. So definitely take advantage of that. That actually helps you continue that connected and alive feeling of your application. Your application is constantly giving things, talking to the user, sharing with the user, inviting the user to come back and utilize your application again and again and make sure that they are getting the right experience and the right information. And one of the other fantastic things is that if you get a chance to explore Azure and some of the fantastic things are available there, you have a really great connected experience with the clouds. You have a great ability to share information back and forth with an Azure service or even between devices. There is something called roaming storage on Windows 8 that allows you to basically have your application share its information with other versions of itself on other devices owned by the same user. So basically, you could have an application. Say you have a book application. You've built a book application. The user is reading that book, and you can actually store the page that they stopped on, and so that when they go home and they open up their desktop at home, it can open up to the book at the exact same page. So that gives you that ability to really sort of utilize the cloud and use the connected experience to create a really, really nice live and relaxed and enriched feeling for the user. It also does not hurt at all to embrace all the modern UI principles. The clean lines, the use of typography and fonts to indicate hierarchy gives the user a much more relaxed and easy way to embrace the content, understand the UI, and just understand where things go and understand how things are supposed to be laid out and what they're supposed to do. It really creates a very, very calm and relaxed experience for the user, which is what you're really trying to do with all of your apps. So, all of this brings us to the fact that we want to share our apps. We want to get them out into the store. And when we want to get them out into the store, we want to get them to the users. And one of the experiences I've had, I've been doing development for a number of years, and I find that one of my biggest challenges was always, how do I share my applications? How do I get my applications out there? In certain situations where you're working for a specific company and you only have to get your applications out to that company, that can be challenging enough. When you're trying to create an application that's for the general public, it can be really challenging to get your information, your applications out there. And I've used a number of different methodologies to promote my applications and get my applications released on different sites and get them reviewed and do all sorts of different things. And while you still want to be working on getting your applications reviewed and trying to get the information out there as much as possible, at least the distribution is a lot easier with Windows 8 apps now. You have the ability to utilize the store and all of the advantages it offers in helping to categorize and catalog your applications so that it can show up to the users that are looking for applications that are like yours. The store is designed for discovery, okay? We have a very, very easy way of having our apps cataloged and basically categorized so that we can very easily target the users that are looking for applications like ours. If we're building a game, they only have to look at games. They don't have to look at millions of applications or thousands of applications that are not games and try to hunt their way through it. They can search for games right there. We have subcategories in the store as well so that certain things can be basically narrowed down even further. So if you have a card game, you can actually focus on the fact that it's a card game, and users that are looking for card games will go into the store and they can go in and see the card games are involved. Also, the other great thing that it has is the ability to have your applications featured or have your applications show up. When you first release them, there's a whole section just for first brand new apps, which gives you the ability to get some traction right away and have some people look at them, because there actually are a great number of people do tend to go and say, hey, I wonder what's new, and they'll just browse through the new apps. So that's another great feature of the store. Now also, you realize that with Windows desktops, we have an unprecedented reach. So you have the ability to reach more people than any other platform has ever been able to reach before. And that's something that's really, really exciting and can lead to quite interesting situations and great experiences, both for the developer and for the developer's users. One of the other great things that in the store is that there are very flexible models. You have the ability to set your own price. You have the ability to decide which markets you're sending it to. You have the ability to use globalization and localization if you want to, so that you can actually target a certain area with a specific language and make it very, very specific to that particular area that you want to focus on. So you have the ability to do basically anything that you want, as well as things like in-app purchases and adding other features to your apps based on price points. There's just the opportunities are pretty much limitless. So you definitely should be checking out the store and taking a look at what you can find in the Windows Store, especially through the developer site at dev.windows.com. One of the other nice things that I found also is that the economics that are available for the store, both on the ads and on the store and the paid apps and the features itself, is among the best in the industry. So you have a definite great advantage on being able to go in, make the most money for your work, and have the most reach for your work, which can really, really lead to some great things. So now that we've seen what the store means to the developer, what does the store mean to the user? How does the user get the application into their device, and what's that process look like? So basically what you have is the user will go through the store, they'll take a look at their application, they'll decide, yes, I want to download that, they'll install it. What happens is the store then basically goes and looks to see if they've ever installed the application before. If it's a paid application, they'll check to see if they've ever installed it before. If they have installed it, have they installed it on too many devices that they'd have to buy it again? Because I believe that you're allowed to install an application on 5 devices before you have to repurchase it. So if it's done that check and it's said, okay, no, you're able to install it on your device again, it basically then goes through, does the installation. Once the installation's successful, it registers the application as being installed on that device, and that basically allows the user to get updates and to know when different things have been done to the application that they need to update or pay attention to, so they'll get notified of in-store updates. It also counts down that click. It basically ticks off that one application or that one device they've installed the application on, so that if your application is a paid application especially, you know that it's not one person installing it on 500 devices for the 99 cents they paid you. So that's basically what the store acquisition model looks like for a general app. So when we're looking at how the app's actually running though on the user's device, it basically starts off as a running app. They start it up, the application starts running, and then they basically, if they decide to suspend it or open up another app, they push the home button or they've decided to go back to the start screen, basically it goes into a suspending mode. So it has the ability to basically just wait for the application or the user to come back to it and need to use it again. When it goes into a suspended mode, it's now a suspended app. So it's sitting there, it's taking up a very little amount of memory and almost no processor threads. So things like timers and other things stop working. At that point, the user can choose to resume the application and bring it back, and at that point, it goes back into focus and everything comes back up just as you would expect it. If your application, though, has been in suspended mode and your machine starts to run out of resources, what will happen is the application will be terminated, okay, and it will fall off the stack. So you really need to be aware of that as a developer so that you know that if your application goes into suspended mode or is going into suspended mode, you have to assume that it may not come back, okay, from that mode without having to be started up again. So one of the things you need to do is remember whatever statement, whatever other pieces you need to save so that you can give the user the right experience when they come back to your application. What I do find though from a lot of developers is what they tend to do is they try to save all their data in the on suspending or on the deactivated point of the application. That's usually a mistake because you have a very, very little amount of time that you're allowed to do that. And you need to make sure that that suspending could be happening as the machine's forcing a shutdown because of power or because the user's put the machine to sleep. You want to make sure that if you're trying to save your information for your application's main data, you should be saving it at the time when they basically are doing the edits or when they're doing the changes or they're doing the additions. Save it at that point so that in the suspended stages, all you're trying to do is save the things like the state, what page they're on, what the controls look like, maybe what connections they've made and other things like that. So you're not saving large amounts of data, you're saving very small pieces of data that can be saved very quickly and very effectively. This will allow you to continue a very clean and robust experience for the user while ensuring that your application behaves exactly as the user is expecting at all times. The last thing that we want to do, especially in this day and age of apps, is to have the users stressed out or frustrated because they've lost information because it wasn't able to save during the suspended point. So you're really going to want to make sure that you take care of that information at the edit insert points. So we've got basically the ability to isolate processes and have different things shared between one device and an ROS, between one application rather and another. So what you're able to actually do is set up something called contracts. Okay, so if I want to basically send an email, I don't necessarily know what email program that person is going to be using or what they've decided to do. Maybe they're using the built-in email program, maybe they decided to install another email program. So what I will do is I will set up a shared contract, okay? And I'll say, I want to share this with all applications that can take this kind of data and do what is supposed to be done with it. So basically what I will do is I will set up a connection to the Share APIs, okay, which will set up a broker, and it will allow me to take information from my application and share it with another application. Now, there's the sharing works the other way as well. My application could have a share contract where it can be set up as someone that can do something with a piece of application. Maybe my application can do something really cool with graphics, and so what I want to do is set up a share contract that says to the OS, hey, I can do neat stuff with pictures. If you have someone who is an application that's sharing graphics, pick me or offer me as a choice. And so that gives you the ability to really extend your application's reach and really create a very, very wide range of functionality for your application and for the user to use your application with. So it can create a really, really rich experience. Now, one of the things we really want to focus on in our app development is the difference between app data and user data. Okay? Now, application data is things like the settings, the files, the state of the application, and whatever is locally cached for that application. So those are things that are very volatile and they go with the application. So if you have those types of data in your application, when your application is uninstalled, that information will be taken out with it. Okay? Now you have a user data on the other hand, which is the documents, the folders, the photos, the music and the video. So things that show up in their libraries. Okay? Those are the types of data that will stay in the device. Those will stay with the device whether your application is uninstalled or not. They will basically stay there and be stored no matter what. So you definitely want to take that into account when you're designing your application's use case and when you're designing your application itself, so that what you're doing is you're allowing the user to have access to the data after your application leaves if that suits the use case of your application. So you would not necessarily want to have a application editing program that only saved the files locally to the application, because if they remove that application, they wouldn't be able to get them outside. They also wouldn't be able to access them outside unless you set up a share contract. So the ability of the user data is that that data then becomes open and available to other applications and to other to the user directly through the file explorer, whereas the application data itself is stored in a basically a non-visible to the user storage of data. And so those are things that you definitely want to look at when you're trying to figure out exactly how your application goes and what you want to do with it. So one of the great things also about the application data is that there is an allotment of data space that you can put into called roaming storage. Okay, that gives you the ability to have information, as I stated before, that allows your data to be shared from device to device to device. So I can do something on my desktop at work and the settings will be there, and if I open up that application at home, I can continue working from the same spot because that data was shared between those two systems seamlessly. The user, you basically have to do nothing more than storing it in the roaming storage and your application has it available to it. So that's actually a really, really great feature that allows the device to sync, and it syncs directly across the user's Microsoft account. So when they log into their machine, it has access to it through that. So basically, to recap that section, we can really be confident that we can create rich and immersed experiences for the users. We can do some really, really great things. We can also do things to make the users feel comfortable and relaxed and excited about our applications. We have the ability to create shared contracts that share our information between different applications. We have the ability to have roaming storage to share information between devices. So things are more connected than they've ever been before. And then we also have the ability to do all of this through a common API set that allows direct connection right to the API. So it's very, very powerful native platform. So it's really, really an exciting time to be a Windows developer. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I've built tons of apps. I'm building tons more. I get feedback from users all the time. And I find that I've never been happier to do this. I've never had more fun doing this. I actually quit my job so I can do this. And so now I work on doing all sorts of different things. And I find that it's given me more ability to be more expressive with what I want to do and how I want to build my applications. Because now I'm not restricted to one language or to one programming platform, I'm allowed to basically stretch out and do things that I've been able to bring in old libraries that I've used from C++, or I've been able to use things that I've used from JavaScript. And it really, really has extended and given me a lot of ability to do things that I've never been able to do before, which I find really a lot of fun. So as we've seen here now with the store and with the new UI and with the new layout and the new tools and the new languages and the ability to access directly through the WinRT from any language, basically C++, C, C#, and XAML, JavaScript, and HTML5, we have access to do more than we've ever been able to do before. So we can see how Windows has been reimagined, both for consumers and for developers. It allows us to create really, really nice, rich experiences for for our users, and to reach more users than we've ever been able to reach before. So for me, I find it a very, very exciting time for Windows. So that's it for now. We'll be back in a little while. Thank you very much.